How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, every day. Hey there, and welcome to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for downloading tonight's show, recorded immediately after the Celtics dispatched the Brooklyn Nets 100-97 in Brooklyn on a fantastic finish. We are the Rain and Jays, John Corrales and Jay King. Let's just get right to it, man. That was a hell of an ending where Jaylen Brown... So the Nets threw out their rotation players, some guys who were going to get definite minutes. And at the end, on the floor, the Celtics had Jaylen Brown, Jordan Mickey, RJ Hunter, James Young, and Terry Rozier. And it was Jaylen Brown to Jordan Mickey on a spectacular play. Behind the back bounce pass, Mickey with the go-ahead dunk. That was crazy.
It was one of the wildest plays you'll see in the final minute, because it was one rookie, a 19-year-old rookie, who's known mostly for everything except his passing. Jaylen Brown's had some nice passing so far. To throw a lefty behind-the-back bounce pass, even if you know the guy is trailing you, even if you know that maybe that's the easiest way to deliver the pass, in that situation, it is absolutely crazy. But it worked.
It worked.
It was spectacular, and it allowed the Celtics to pull out what was really an uninspiring win for the most part.
Oh no, I gotta say, most of the second half, it was like toothpicks and my eyelids to keep them open. If you didn't have to pay attention to that game, I could totally see you falling asleep during the fourth quarter. But it's preseason Celtics Nets. But that play, I loved it. I thought Jaylen had him sized up. He saw where the defender was. He saw where he had the position. He was looking back. He knew Mickey was trailing, and he just had to make a simple little bounce pass. Well, it's not simple.
Simple behind the back lefty, like skidded it behind him. Not so simple, man.
Not so simple, but at that level, you'd hope he could make that kind of pass, and he did, and Mickey was flying down the court for the dunk. So, yeah, and then they... Play. And they held on, and I got to say that it was a nice finish to the game. Jaylen Brown had 6 points in the fourth quarter, on top of 8 from Terry Rozier. So the Celtics finished pretty strong, and Jaylen had, I want to see how many assists he had, because was that his only assist in the quarter? Yeah, it was. So it was still, I'm looking at the wrong line. He had 3 assists in that fourth quarter. So for a guy who's not known for his passing, still accounted for 6 points, 3 assists. So he was really an effective guy in that fourth quarter. Terry Rozier had 4 assists in the fourth quarter. So big finish from young guys. You got to think
young bucks.
Yeah, you got to think that Brad Stevens likes seeing guys like that come up big and finish games. Not that it means a lot. But hey, it's a basketball game. You're trying to win, and you got 2 of your youngest guys out there leading you to a win.
Yeah, and that pass, man, that pass.
You're just stuck on that pass.
I'm stuck on the pass. I have to be stuck on that pass, because if I'm not stuck on that pass, I'd be thinking about the starting lineup, which was not impressive. Four guys in the starting lineup had 0 assists at halftime. The ball movement just wasn't there. After... The starting lineup was a killer group in the first 2 games. Just gross, gross basketball tonight. The defense was pretty good. I thought Jarebko was fantastic on both ends. Marcus Smart had some awesome playmaking. there was moments when the Celtics were really locked in, I thought, especially defensively. They blocked a ton of shots. I was watching on TV. I didn't go to New York for the games. And you could just hear, give me that shit. Give me that shit, like over and over again. It was great.
They had a nice stretch defensively where, what was the lineup? It was Smart, Bradley, Crowder,
Jarebko, and yep. Horford, right?
And yes, that was the lineup. That's a pretty nice defensive lineup because you could switch just about everything with that lineup.
And we talked a lot of crap about the starters, but I just want to play without Horford. I just want like one game to play with him. That dude looks like the most fun guy to play with. All he wants to do is find his teammates, and he's been rebounding great, which is a really good sign because his rebounding percentage has been weak the past couple of years. But they really need him to control the glass, and he's really, really been doing it so far.
Yeah, he had 9 rebounds tonight, 3 of them offensive. So a very nice night for him on the boards. He's been doing it all preseason. So there may be something to the thought of Atlanta's system kind of pulled him away from the basket, and it wasn't just that he couldn't rebound anymore. It's that wasn't what he was asked to do very much in Atlanta. So this is a good sign, and who knows what it's going to be. Again, it's the Nets, it's the Sixers, it's the Hornets, so it's easy to have good results. But back to Jaylen Brown, because he's one of the focuses from this game. Struggled a lot defensively. He was going up against Trevor Booker, gave him some problems. He got torched on a backdoor cut. I think it was a Bogdanovich that cut backdoor on a give and go and just torched him there. So he's, again, 19 years old. He's going to have those moments, but it's a nice reminder for him that he's got a long way to go, and kind of us to temper our expectations. He's getting a lot of minutes in the preseason. I don't think he's going to see 22 minutes like he saw tonight in the regular season. That might get scaled back to 12 to 15 and more selective spots for him. So that learning curve on defense is still pretty big.
He's such a roller coaster, man. It's like 1 second Trevor Booker is bodying him, and then the next he's like bursting past Booker for the sweet lefty layup, and then the next he's getting beat back door, and then minutes later he's sinking 4 free throws in the final minute and throwing a ridiculous left-handed behind the back pass to Jordan Mickey. It's like this kid does some spectacular things, and then he does some things that remind you, oh yeah, he's 19. He wasn't particularly great during his lone college season, and it's going to take him a long time to become whatever it is he's going to become. But while he's doing it, he's gonna provide some fun. He's had some incredible moments during each of his preseason games so far.
Yeah, and let's see. We asked you to give your thoughts on Twitter using the hashtag Rain and Jays. If any time during the season, during a game, if you have any thoughts, send them to us with the hashtag Rain and Jays. You don't even have to at us, but you just send them and tag them, and we'll filter them into the show. One of them from at KOB213, Brown with some quality baseline out of bounds assists in the third quarter. So his passing, again, something that was, nice to see tonight. These little flashes that are nice to see with Jaylen Brown. Who knows what's going to happen against real NBA competition, but look, at least he's making these passes.
Hey, who says the Nets aren't real NBA competition? I will say though, they looked a lot more connected and energetic than they did at any time last season. Kenny Atkinson came in. They got some veterans like Booker, Jeremy Lin, who are pretty good for that team. So I'm not sure they'll be quite as bad as Celtics fans hope, and the Celtics hope, because they obviously have the right to swap picks with the Nets next season. Or next summer.
Yeah, but still, I mean, they'll play really hard. Bad. They'll play hard. And I did say when we did the crossover show with the Locked On Nets podcast, I did mention that there's that chance that they'll kind of be that plucky, weirdly good chemistry, play above their heads type of team.
Yeah, there's a chance they'll win 25 games, and then there's a chance they'll win 15. So
right. So yeah, that plucky, better chemistry than anticipated us against the world team is still like a 25-win team. But for the Celtics fans, that's horrible news. That would be horrible because we want them to be that 15-win team. I think I set the over-under wins at 15 for them.
Yeah, it's low.
It's low. But there's you're right, though. There is that weird thing. They will play hard. And look, there is that attitude when everybody's telling you that you suck, then you can get together as a team and say, hey, let's just prove them wrong. And who knows? So, but they're still, again, regular rotation guys blew a game tonight against Rozier, Brown, Hunter, Young, and Mickey. So two guys that might get cut, a D-leaguer.
Gerald Green had some contributions down the stretch. I thought it was interesting that Stevens didn't play Green in the first half. Obviously, he missed two preseason games already. Like, that's a guy who needs some playing time with his new team. That surprised me. And maybe Stevens wanted to see what the rotation would look like without Green, wanted to give Brown more minutes, Rozier more minutes, whatever. That's still weird. Gerald Green, maybe he's on the outskirts of the rotation right now. Maybe they're leaning toward having Jaylen Brown play those minutes and Jarebko and Rozier and Smart off the bench rather than Gerald Green. Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah, and I would like to say that if you're just joining the podcast, if this is your first time listening, first of all, thank you. We appreciate it. We hope you subscribe.
If it's your first time, no thank yous. You should have been doing it a long
time ago.
No,
come on. Look,
you should have been doing it a long time ago.
But here they are now. Here they are now. Just welcome them in. Let's not be bitter. Let's welcome them in.
Welcome aboard.
And
you're
say,
late to the party, but it's still a great party.
That's all right. There's plenty of beer left. I think there's some food. There's some chips. Just come on in and have some fun. Yesterday's show, you and Ryan Bernadone, you had a nice conversation. And I really enjoyed that bit about Gerald Green. That why would you have him here if he's only going to give you an extra win or maybe two? Can't you get that from Jaylen Brown? Or who knows, maybe outside chance, James Young or RJ Hunter, but at least Jaylen Brown, why not give him the minutes and see where that goes? So it is interesting. Gerald Green only played 14 and a half minutes tonight, but again, it's preseason and this is the time where you mix and match, and Brad Stevens makes his mad scientist type of lineup decisions. So still not fully ready to make a commitment either way on Gerald Green. Jonas Jarebko only played 16 minutes, but man, that was a hell of a 16 minutes for him.
Yep.
12 points, 5 boards, 3 assists. I mean, he was just everywhere. 3 of 4 from 3, 4 of 5 overall. He just really
had a block where he basically swallowed a shot. He had his hands were just everywhere in the passing lanes. Hell of a game from Jonas Jarebko.
Yeah.
He doesn't get enough credit, man. He's pretty good. He can't do a lot inside the arc. I think I tweeted this today. Like, every time he does something inside the arc, it's an adventure. But he's a pretty good passer. He hustles his balls off, and he can guard big guys or small guys. So Jonas Jarebko doesn't get enough credit.
He doesn't. If you leave him with too much room, he will bury you from three. He hit 3 threes tonight more than any other Celtic. In fact, let's see, he had 3, Rozier had 2, and then a few guys had 1. So that was a nice performance. And again, defensively is where he's going to make a really big impact. People will notice the couple of threes that he's going to hit per game. Very underrated in his ability to switch, stay in front of people, and give the Celtics a really swarming defense. That defensive lineup, like you talked about, was really, really impressive, and that's something to look forward to for the regular season.
Yeah, by the way, another rough game for Tyler Zeller.
Yeah.
He's only in the rotation because Kelly Olynyk still hasn't been cleared for contact, but Tyler Zeller is not the same guy he was a couple years ago. He just has not played well throughout the preseason.
Yeah, and this was another Rain and Jay's comment that came in from at JBales96. Can we cut Tyler Zeller? Dude is on $8 million.
With that talk.
Right, but dude is on $8 million, still looks like trash. Sags off Scola for three, turns like a bus in transition. Not maybe a little bit strong there with the comment, but yeah, point taken that Zeller not necessarily making a case for a lot of minutes. He had a good game. Was it the Charlotte game? He played all right. So
yeah, when they sat all their normal big men, and he was wide open.
Right. So
otherwise, it hasn't been a good preseason for him.
No, it hasn't. Look, he's a guy that I think is just going to need more minutes. And what sucks is he's not earning more minutes, but he needs more minutes to earn those minutes. And he gets into this catch 22. So unfortunately for Tyler Zeller, I think he can be somewhat solid, effective, that quote unquote Tyler Zeller that of the past, but he needs like 20 minutes a game to do it. And he's just not going to get those here, especially when Kelly Olynyk comes back. That's going to be tough for him. So yeah.
Yeah. If you know, the Celtics are playing a lot of small lineups already. Like Jaylen Brown, Stevens is playing him at the four a lot. They are really experimenting with that. And, obviously Booker overpowered him a couple times, but Brown has done a pretty decent job for a 19-year-old learning the four position really for the first time. He didn't even play that much at the four in college, and now he's playing grown men out there. So it's definitely an adjustment, but his versatility is really, really could be helpful. I don't know how helpful it'll be this year, but 1 year. And they're definitely trying that out and seeing what works. I don't anticipate Zeller with much of a role, but I definitely think they're going to go to a lot of small lineups after that starting lineup.
Yeah, so that does not include Tyler Zeller. It will include some combination of Marcus Smart and Terry Rozier. And what I found interesting tonight with those guys, and it's one of our storylines that we're watching for the regular season, how those guys will be used. Tonight, it was a little bit different. Again, I'm going back to yesterday's show where Ryan was making a really good point about Marcus Smart handling the ball more, and that's where he's going to have his biggest upside. It's kind of funny that today he handled the ball a lot more. A lot of times when he was in with Rozier, Smart was handling the ball and running the offense and doing a really good job as far as penetrating. I thought he got to the rim a lot, and his passing was really, really good. He had that awesome like pocket pass alley-oop to Jaylen Brown. It's kind of crazy. He just from his hip, just tossed it up to the corner there, and Jaylen Brown came in for the alley-oop. So I think that Marcus showed a nice ability to run the team, and then Rozier, when he was in there, was playing a lot more off the ball. Not completely, but a lot more off the ball. Look, these guys combined for 11 assists together tonight. So if that's something that carries over into the regular season, that would be amazing.
Yeah, and it was like the perfect Smart game. 0 for 4 from threes. Like he followed one three with like this awesome play where he dribbled toward the defense on purpose to draw two defenders and then threw a behind-the-back pass to Jonas Jerebko for three. He followed another missed three with that alley-oop to Jaylen Brown, which you were talking about, and that came after he had just fallen on his head, and it looked like he might be dead or concussed at least.
I thought he hurt himself bad.
I thought concussion, and instead he just like hops up and fires a three and then throws an alley-oop. Classic Marcus Smart game. He was all over the place. Avery Bradley, I thought, had a great defensive game too. He's just incredible with his feet. Obviously, we don't say that a lot just because it's obvious, but it deserved noting tonight. I thought he was really impressive keeping in front of guys. There was one play when Ronnie Hollis Jefferson was trying to dribble against him, and it was like, nah, bro.
Nope. that will not be an easy task for you. I thought, look, he had a tough game offensively for sure, that he was 3 of 12, 1 of 7 from 3. Not the best game not the best shooting night for Avery Bradley, to say the least. But I still see him doing some new things out there. he had a hesitation dribble early on in the game where he went by, I think it was Brook Lopez.
Dude, he's an NBA guard. Of course he can go by Brook Lopez.
That's not the point.
I could go by Brook Lopez.
That's not the point that he went by Brook Lopez. Just happened to be that Brook Lopez was there. It's the fact that he hit him with this hesitation dribble that I've never seen Avery Bradley use that hesitation dribble. I mean, maybe he has in the past, but it's not a regular part of his game.
Yeah, I feel like Avery Bradley, I tweeted this at you. He is going to lead the league this year in people who say he's never made a move like that before, or he's never thrown a pass like that before. For whatever reason, like he made some strides as a playmaker last year. He did some of those off the dribble moves. Nobody remembers when he does it until the next time he does it, and then everyone's like, "Oh, I've never seen that before."
I don't recall seeing that, and I think it was your Mass Live colleague, Tom Westerholm.
Tom Westerholm said the same thing.
Same thing. So look, I'm not alone in this. Even if he has done it before, I'm not saying it's the first time he's ever made that move, but
I'm going to go the other way from you. I thought after a couple of optimistic games from him as a playmaker, he kind of went the other way. Like, he threw an alley-oop to Amir Johnson that got picked off. He threw a pass to Isaiah Thomas, and Isaiah Thomas just wasn't there. It went into the stands. He had 3 turnovers, 0 assists. So I'm going to go the other way on this one. Yes, he will occasionally make really good moves. I'm holding off on the – I do think he has definitely worked on his playmaking and his dribble moves and stuff like that. He might be better. I'm holding off on, like, saying he is a secondary playmaking option yet. Like, he'll make some nice passes. I'm not convinced yet that he's made, like, these huge strides where he'll be, like, this legitimate playmaker for their first unit when Isaiah Thomas doesn't have the ball.
I'm not gonna go that far either. I'm just saying that there are things that he's doing in this preseason that he hasn't been doing in the past. And I think he's done a great job this preseason. Like I said, the last time we talked about this, he's doing a great job of drawing defenders and pulling a double team away from the guy that he's trying to pass to.
He's definitely trying to do more of that.
So I think that that's something that's encouraging. And again, I saw a couple of things tonight that you don't usually see from Avery Bradley. That's all. That's nice. He did a nice job. what do you want me to say, man? I thought it was nice. I guess we should say nice things about Al Horford. We're going to do this every podcast.
Yeah.
Are we going to get sick of playing? But look, 13-9. 5 of 8, we've kind of talked about that a little bit, but you know, it's just worth mentioning, I guess.
Yeah, he was the only starter who really played well.
Back to the Rain and Jays comments or questions. This is from Patrick's 1591. What do you guys think of Jordan Mickey's development thus far, as well as his potential? I will say that Brad Stevens mentioned Mickey after the game. He was asked about it. And he said, Jordan has had a pretty good couple of weeks now, especially the last week. He can really impact us. Interesting that he would put it that way.
Jordan Mickey is not going to play any minutes unless an injury happens. Tyler Zeller isn't going to play any minutes either, but the front court is going to be Al Horford, Amir Johnson, Kelly Olynyk, Jonas Jerebko, Jaylen Brown at the 4 sometimes, Jay Crowder at the 4 more of the time. And Mickey and Zeller will be there in case of injuries. And I haven't seen too much development from Mickey, honestly. Like, he had a good game against Charlotte, but, like, he hasn't shot the 3 well. That was one thing he worked on last year. He hasn't even looked comfortable enough to shoot it most of the time. There was one play today where one of the Nets caught it down the middle, and he was kind of nearby but didn't slide over, and it ended up in a dunk. So I haven't been thoroughly impressed by Jordan Mickey so far. I didn't think he was great in summer league, and I haven't thought that he's had a great preseason so far either. Now, I obviously we haven't seen him a lot. I'm not there at the practices. I don't get to see the practices at least. But I from what little we've seen of Jordan Mickey, I haven't been – he hasn't forced his way into the rotation, at least.
do you think that he might at least become the emergency guy? Like, he might supplant Tyler Zeller? You think Zeller just might fall to...
Poor Zeller, man. Yeah, I mean, that's possible.
All right.
Poor Zeller.
Poor Tyler Zeller, you know? Oh, well. Good thing they signed him.
Bryant, though, that's a good deal. It's a one-year deal.
I mean, look, it is.
Injury,
I know.
He's injury insurance, and that $8 million of disappearing money is valuable. So,
sure,
it's a good
deal.
No,
it is. I know.
Even if he doesn't play a second,
I'm joking around.
Deal. Yeah.
At Irish Kelleher, are we going to see a repeat of last year where the Seas occasionally play down to their opponents? I think because they played pretty uninspired like preseason. I don't think a lot of guys were going through their crazy get hyped pregame routines. They were pretty hyped at the end on the bench, and that was fun. It's kind of fun to watch your scrubs go out there and win a game, but I don't think these guys are out there really trying their hardest against the Nets, a team they're going to see like four times in the next week and a half or so. Like, it's some weird quirk of the schedule. They play them a couple of times in the preseason. They play them a couple of times in the regular season. It's like weird. But
weird. Weird. So many. I hate preseason just because they always play so many Atlantic Division teams, man. Like, stop playing the Nets and the damn Knicks. I don't want to see those teams.
No.
Give me Golden State, man. Give me Cleveland. Give me somebody with some talent. At least give me like the Timberwolves with some nice young talent. Don't give me like Jeremy Lin and Trevor Booker.
Hey, look, Jeremy Lin killed the Celtics tonight for a long time. He was blowing by Isaiah Thomas. I mean, that's not the... I'm not saying
Jeremy Lin, I think he's going to have a good year. When an offense is centered around him, we saw it before. He can make plays, man. He's tough to stop off the dribble. He's going to have a big year. The Celtics are going to hate him this year because he's going to help Brooklyn win more games than Brooklyn should.
Yeah, I thought he should have gotten stronger consideration last year for Sixth Man of the Year. I thought he was really good for Charlotte last year. And yeah, you might be right that he could do some things for Brooklyn, and we get kind of Lin sanity back in New York. So hopefully not, but we'll see. A couple more things before we go. I'm curious to see how many of these guys start getting cut now, because we're at a point, there's only a few preseason games left, and you got to start cutting these guys so they can hook on with other teams if they're going to do that. So I would expect that at some point in the next few days that the Marcus George's hunt and those of his ilk will start getting released. Isn't that about the time that this starts to happen?
Although those guys, it's like usually with older veterans, I guess, you want to give them time to latch on with another team. But those guys have probably all agreed to go play for the main Red Claws. So it doesn't really matter at this point. They can stick around, practice, chill, hang out at the end of the bench, eat some popcorn or whatever. And then they'll just go to the D-League when the season starts. So I don't think there's too much of a rush on that.
All right. Okay. Well, you know what today is? Today's our birthday. We Happy share a birthday with John. Paul Pierce. Happy birthday, Jay. One year anniversary of what started as the Rain and Jays podcast. We have since joined the Locked On Network, obviously. You hear us talk about it every day. But we just want to say thanks, because we've grown a lot over the course of 1 year. What used to be a weekly, hour-long thing where we're just trying to figure ourselves out has now become a daily podcast that is growing by leaps and bounds. We had a show that had about 10,000 listeners the other day. So, I mean, that's really amazing. So we hope that the show continues to grow. You can help us grow by giving us 5-star ratings and helping us rise through the ranks on iTunes, which we've been able to do, thankfully. And if you subscribe and give us that 5 stars, then more people will get a chance to see us and listen. And, you know, eventually, who knows? Maybe we'll sit there and say 10,000 is a disappointing number. But yeah, I want to
assume 10,000 will suck.
One day we'll be like, man, I hope we don't only get 10,000 listens to this show. But yeah, that's been 1 year. And if I look at the stats correctly, I think we've got like 400,000 listens over the course of that year, which is pretty good, I think, all things considered.
I don't even know where you found those stats, man.
Advanced analytics, podcast analytics.
Just pulling a number out of your bum.
No, it's a legit number.
All right.
Hey, if I keep saying it's a legit number, I would have made a better legit number than 400,000. 400,000
million listens.
Absolutely, yes. All right. That's it. Again, Celtics win tonight 100-97. As usual, some good, some bad. Starters not so great, but great finish. Jaylen Brown to Jordan Mickey for a pass that he said after the game, "I thought that was the best option." That's the quote from Jaylen Brown after the game. "I thought that was the best option." Lefty behind the back pass to get Jay King up out of his seat.
Yeah, I literally laughed out loud when it happened. Just straight laughter that he had the audacity to throw a left-handed bounce pass in final minute.
I see it led your game story afterwards on masslive.com. What else would it be? If you guys aren't reading Jay, if you're just listening to the podcast and you don't read Jay, what are you doing? You're missing out. That's like the other half of what he does, or really like 80% of what he does, the thing that pays him to live and eat and drink beer. So go to masslive.com. Yeah, that's all you need, really. It's a lot of calories and carbs and stuff that gets you by. Go read him on masslive.com. If you don't know what I do, go read me on redsarmy.com or follow us on Twitter. He's at by Jay King. I'm at redsarmy_John. If you don't know that by now, geez, tweet us with the hashtag Rain and Jays throughout the week, throughout the games. We'll see them. We'll talk about them. Again, subscribe. Check out our network. Check out our friends at FanRag Sports. Since we're dropping promos and shout-outs, they do a nice job aggregating a lot of the Celtics content. If you go to their daily fast break, find the Celtics page. Our podcast is there. You can kind of bookmark that thing. Do people bookmark things anymore?
I bookmark.
All right.
I'm a bookmark type of guy.
All right. I don't know. But do that, and you can find all of our stuff and find our podcast there and whatever. All right. That'll do it for us. The Celtics will play over the weekend, but we'll talk about it for the Monday show. We got to take a couple of days to relax, too, and drink beers over the weekend. So that's just my subtle, subliminal, some beer company, please sponsor us already. Can't you do that already, beer companies? We're ready for you.
They should. They should. Everybody should sponsor us, man. Everybody.
We should be walking around podcasting in those NASCAR fire suits with all of those sponsors on it. We should look like Ricky Bobby.
And since we don't have video, just tell people about all the logos on our bodies.
We'll just tweet them out or whatever. Instagram it. Thanks for listening, everybody. This has been the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.